This program is brought to you by thepodcastfactory.com.
You're listening to the Pretend You're Fired Today podcast. And now, here's your host, Lisa Rangel.
Welcome and hello. Welcome to the 44th episode of the Pretend You're Fired Today podcast. I'm Lisa Rangel, host of the Pretend You're Fired Today podcast and founder of Chameleon Resumes. We are an executive resume writing, LinkedIn profile development, and job search consultancy firm that helps executives and high potential leaders land their next position faster. And on today's podcast, we're going to talk about three psychological hacks to give you an upper hand when asking for a raise. Sounds cool, right? Chances are you already know that psychology goes a long way in business. It goes a long way in sales. You may have heard that it also goes a long way when you're networking. But did you know that you can also use psychology to increase your chances of getting a raise? A quick note here. Knowing about psychology is not about manipulating the other person in a negative way to get what you want, and it's all sinister. It's about knowing how the mind works so you can ease situations that can maybe cause a lot of anxiety, and you can also get others to collaborate with you. Use our tips that we're going to discuss in this episode to give yourself an upper hand when asking for a raise. I am all about using your superpowers and ninja tricks for good. Right? Use your powers for good. So here goes. The first tactic to use is to use the person's own words when you're describing their problem and then tying it to how your raise is worth it in fixing that problem. In sales and marketing, you're taught to use a prospective client's own words to remind them of why they need your product or services and what benefits they're going to get from using your service. Well, you can use the same concept when asking for a raise. So for example, perhaps you know that your company is looking to open a new office overseas, right? And they've run into some issues, like maybe struggling to find employees. Your bosses maybe even mentioned it during meetings. So when you're asking for your raise, if you have the ability to recruit staff in that particular geographic area, you can bring up the issue, describe how you can fix the problem, and have that be part of the reason why your raise request is warranted, because you have the skills, the ability, and the willingness to do it. So, you know, the key is to use their own words. So if your boss has mentioned, wow, we're really having a hard time finding the qualified people we need to open the office in China, then I would use that exact wording when addressing how your skills in hiring an overseas team in Asia are worth the raise discussed as you bring it to the table. Or maybe you have the network that you can tap, even if you haven't done that before, maybe you have the network you can tap to do that. So the reason it's so effective is because to use someone's own words in discussing the problem and you as the solution, it creates familiarity in the person's mind who is hearing that proposal and the potential solution. The detail of using their own words also triggers more emotion than saying something general, like the company's having recruitment issues and I can help. That's more of a fact versus stating it in a way that they stated. So then you can provide examples. Make sure you have examples ready, like those wins of how you've handled similar issues and how you fix similar issues as to what they need. Focus on the positive and make yourself a valuable asset to the company worthy of a raise as you discuss how you can fix their problems using their words. So the second tactic to employ is to mirror their body language. Now, this may seem really overly simplistic, but in addition to using boss's own words, you can also mirror their body language. The concept of mirroring is pretty simple, and it may seem overly simplistic, but I'm telling you, it works, right? When asking for a raise, use the body language that's similar to another person's. And it's subtle. You don't want to be overly obvious, right? You don't want to look like you've taken out the negotiation book or the psychological hack book and you're just implementing this stuff. You have to do it naturally. But when it's done subtly and successfully, it creates a sense of familiarity, of trust, of comfort. Because the bottom line is when someone behaves like we do, we tend to automatically assume they're like us or they get us. In other words, you know, asking your boss for a raise while mirroring their body language, subliminally, they can see themselves in you, and it might make them more accepting of your request if the other requirements are there in granting the raise. So Mirroring creates empathy. It can take your boss's mind off numbers and budgets and logistical issues that may arise from needing to get you a raise. If they feel like they're championing you because you're like them, again, subliminal, it's one aspect in getting the raise that could work and has worked, but this is a tool. So another way of looking at this is if your boss, you know, speaks in a very logical manner. So this would be more mirroring them in a speaking pattern or speaking tone versus a body language issue. If your boss speaks in a very logical manner about the raise or the promotion, then you should present your case for the raise or the promotion in the same manner. Give information in a way that they digest to increase the chances of you getting heard. Again, because they might feel you're like them, which is always a good thing to do because most people believe that what they do and how they act is the best way to do it. So again, it's got to be genuine. You can't just look like you took out the negotiation book. So the third tactic to use is to limit their options as you present options. So limiting people's choices in presenting a proposal is a very well-known persuasion technique. And simply put, when making a proposition, it's very easy for someone's mind to create a myriad of alternatives or even obstacles to the proposition if it's not focused. So rather than letting their mind wander and discussing myriads of opportunities by being really open-ended, I suggest giving them two, maybe three options to consider. Even if those two or three options eventually are not feasible, then move on to another two or three options. But like, don't necessarily give them nine all at once because the brain can't wrap their head around that typically. So I would present two or three at a time. Get those two or three off the table if they're not feasible and then present another two or three. So, and you want one of those options to be what you want, right? And you should be able to tolerate and do all three that you're proposing, two or three that you're proposing. So give your proposition something better and maybe something a little less desirable. So, or your proposition something less desirable and something in the middle that is a really great compromise. So, for example, you can say that, and again, this is really crudely put for the sake of this podcast, I've maybe oversimplified things a bit, but for example, you can say that you're either going to get a raise for doing X, or you know, maybe you have another offer on the table. Or scenario two can be that you get the raise, or they may continue to have issues if they haven't employed a solution at all to fix the issue that would justify you getting a raise because you can fix it. So an option for the middle for both of those scenarios is to say that a plan can be put in place with agreed upon goals to say in like 3 months. And once those goals are hit, the raise can happen when the goals are met. So this limiting their options technique is rather simplistic sometimes to some people, or it seems obvious, but I'm telling you it works. The key is don't overdo it. You need to have something valuable to bring to the table, and it should never, ever, ever be delivered or perceived as a threat. Ever. It really has to be like a win-win amicable process as you go through that. So are you able to execute these steps on your own? Would you be able to present the limited options and not have it be perceived as a threat or whatnot? If you answered no, if you're not sure if you're going to be able to do any of these three items on your own, then I suggest you hire us for personal guidance and let us show you how to do this to elevate your career, maintain your current role, get that raise. It's about being proactive in today's economy about your career is true job security. So go to executivejobsecurity.com, invest in our executive job security program, to work with our team of career performance coaches who can show you how to do this. And this way you can really accelerate your ability to get a raise and maximize that raise in the process, which really is the goal, right? So your ROI would be immediate. This way you don't have to do it alone. You can still maximize your efforts. Our career coaching resource is found at executivejobsecurity.com. And in past episodes on the Pretend You're Fired Today podcast, we've talked about the only true way to protect yourself from job loss is to pretend you're fired today and make a list of activities that you would do to start finding your next job and then slowly but consistently start to do them. This is the crux of the Pretend You're Fired Today action list. We want you to be in demand when you need it, so you need to create the demand before you need it. This way, if your job situation changes unexpectedly, you already have pent-up demand for what you do. By doing these actions that I show you here today and those that I've shown you in past episodes. For the next few episodes of the Pretend You're Fired Today podcast, we're going to continue to go through a list of tactics and activities to do now, as if you were let go today, to ensure that you are always employable and you always have demand for what you do and you're always ready for whatever the world brings your way. So the first item on the Pretend You're Fired Today action list was doing your resume and getting it up to speed. And we cover how to do that in episodes 1 through 8. And the second item on that list was updating your LinkedIn profile, which we review in episodes 9 through 12. And in the last 24 or so episodes, we've covered many, many topics. And some of the topics we covered are how to work with recruiters, how to answer the salary question on interviews, ways to create 9 hours of job search time per week. That seems quite unbelievable, but I'm telling you, the simple tactics that I give you in that episodes will allow you to do that. And the ABCs of job security. So you're going to want to go to pretendyourfiredtoday.com and look at the menu and the topical items and revisit these specific episodes as well as look at the others that we offer. And I'm so proud of you for taking these next steps to making yourself marketable, particularly when you don't need it. That is really admirable because most people wait for the unexpected jobs change to happen. They think it's never going to happen to them. So they're not even really waiting for the unexpected job change to happen. They just think it's never going to happen to them. But then bam, it happens. And then they're scrambling to learn this information while looking for a job that they need pretty quickly because the bills pile up when you're not working or you don't have a job. So I give you like major kudos for learning how to do this and then doing it before you need it. This is the essence of remaining employable. Remaining employable nowadays is not about finding the job that you stay in for 25 years. Remaining employable in today's economy is about always being able to have demand for yourself. So if you need to find a job, you can find a job at the same or better position that you're in quickly. That's the key. My friend saved me with her priceless advice. Pretend you're fired today. I was able to land a position that was better after some unexpected restructuring in my company. And I mean, she saved me. So I'm so grateful and I am paying this sentiment forward with you. I ask you to pay this sentiment forward as well. Share this podcast, share this idea of building demand for yourself before you need it with as many executives and professionals who you know would benefit from this build the demand before you need it advice. So doing the suggested steps in this episode will help you increase your opportunities to land a higher raise. And in the next episode, I'm going to discuss how to find and stay ahead of employment and business trends so you can remain employable. Now, I know you're not going to want to miss the next episode, but in all honesty, it may not be the most sexy sounding episode, but I'm telling you, those that do it, those are the ones that stay ahead because everyone is not doing that. So it is a way to stay different than your competitors. So in the interim, if you want personalized coaching for your career to get you past this psychological hacks area, or maybe you're struggling with another area in your career that we can help you through, go to Executive Job Security, hire us to help you with any direct issues you may have, and let us help you create continuous employability in your career. So I look forward to seeing you on the next episode. Thanks for being here with me today, and be well.
This is the PodcastFactory.com.